Macrame is the art of knot tying, and it seems to be experiencing a renaissance as a form of fiber art. Karen Lisa Forbes is a contemporary macrame artist. She lives in Bemidji and makes macrame jewelry using Cavendoli style. She's here with us in the studio, ready to tell us more. Welcome, Karen.
Good morning.
Your technique is called Cavendoli, and can you explain what it is and what makes it unique?
Well, Cavendoli is a form of macrame, but done with tiny cord. Picture something like carpet thread. It's about that big. The cord that I use is Celon, and it's half a millimeter. And the Cavendoli style is actually half-hitch knots used to do a tapestry form, though... So what I do is primarily half-hitch knots. There's a lark's head knot and an overhand knot. It comes down to basically three knots, and fashion that into jewelry around stones and beads.
So does this help with sailing and climbing also?
You know, it probably could. I could macrame you a rope.
Yeah?
Yeah, it'd be very awesome.
Good knot person. Mm-hmm. Get you and Mark Morrissey in a room together, so many knots you guys can...
Actually, I was thinking about this the other day, that my dad was a Marine and taught me how to tie all kinds of different knots. So maybe I've been doing this all my life and I just didn't really have a name for it.
Now, one more tangent. Forgive me, Maggie. Now, your dad, was your dad the parent that called you Karen or Lisa?
He was the parent that called me Karen. Yeah. My mom called me Lisa.
And therefore, you are now?
Karen-Lisa. It's my first name because they couldn't agree on a first name. They both wanted the name, their name as the first name, so that's what they did. And apparently, that was so traumatic for them, they just bypassed an entire middle name. So it wasn't going to go for the middle name after that.
Well, it sounds like you're kind of talking about the roots of macrame there in knot tying for sailing and other uses. Where did that come from?
Ooh, on the spot. So it looks like it actually came from Egypt. They have found macrame fringes on garments, on shawls, and so it looks like it actually started there and kind of moved throughout the world. The style that I do is actually an Italian style, and then there's you'll see a Mexican style and a South American style of macrame, and I think most everybody is familiar with the South American styles. The Italian style is really flowing, and there's a lot of leaves involved with it.
So by style, you mean...
It's more lace work. It looks more lacy than the stuff that we're thinking. Because everybody's thinking, wow, she makes really cool plant hangers and owls at this point. Which is not necessarily untrue, because I just went back to the roots and knotted a pair of little, owl earrings out of the tiny cord.
So can you give us a broad definition of macrame?
It's just knots.
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 You tying?
It comes down to the three knots. It's an overhand, a lark's head, and then a half-hitch knots. And if you can do those three knots, you've got macrame.
You said that this Cavendoli knotting came from doing tapestries. That sounds like a whole lot of work with tiny cords like you're talking about.
It is. And while I do jewelry, my first love is the is the fine art, where you take it and make it into what I do is mine kind of comes out sculptural. There are some artists who just do the flat work and make tapestries out of it, one little tiny knot at a time, changing color, maybe using a different. Reversing a knot to get a different texture in it, and they'll do entire tapestries. In fact, I'm going to give a little plug here. Kate Anderson, who's an American knotter who does, phenomenal work, and you can find her on the interweb. She is coming in April, and she'll be doing a talk. There's a Midwest Fiber Arts Trail, which I'll be part of, and part of that, she'll be the keynote speaker over at the Watermark Art Center for that. And she does, she knots around stuff, so she'll do teapots, and actually I just saw one where she knotted around a flask, but she does almost exclusively tapestry type work. So it'll be pictures, it'll be images of people, of women, of men, of the flask. She has a really cool heart on it.
So if you were to ask, you know, a goofball like me to name, you know, 10 artist endeavors or types of art or arts and crafts or something like that, I would not immediately think of knotting. So what do you think attracts some people to that type of art?
Attracts people to the actual knot?
To do it.
To do the knotting?
To do it.
I think there's a little insanity that goes with it. There aren't a lot of macrame artists in the United States. There's more. You're finding more people doing the jewelry because there is, like Maggie said, a resurgence with interest of macrame. But I'm not. I don't know. For me, I've always been interested in fiber. I love fiber. And looking for something that I could make uniquely mine that wasn't super mainstream, and came across this about 3 years ago when I took a workshop. And it, for me, it's like my hands were born to it. It's what my hands want to do. It's easy for me, which is always a plus, but it does take time. I was in the studio, in my studio, with my daughter-in-law the other day. She rolls in with a blank canvas, and she's got like 3/4 of a picture done, a painting done in watercolor, and I've got like 17 knots tied. So it's time consuming, and you have to have the patience to indulge in that kind of time consuming project.
Is it meditative?
It is very meditative.
Aha.
And that's a good point. It is very meditative. With a half hitch knot, there's two components to it. There's the first part of the knot. And for me, there's the second part of the knot, and that second part is what locks it in. And even in that tiny cord, there's kind of a little bit of a snap that's real satisfying. And when I'm into the knotting, I'm into the knotting. And I'm right there. I'm not present anyplace else. And they're slipping and they're sliding down, and it's a lovely feeling.
We are talking about Cavendoli knotting with Karen Lisa Forbes. Your work has texture. Do you add anything to the cord that you're using, or, you know, like beads or embellishments or anything, or is it just pretty much straight knots?
No, not just straight knots. For me, anything that I can tie into it is, I'll try to tie into it. My knotting has been, I've done it on metal armature. I incorporate beads into it, rocks, sticks. I've actually just now have a little, I've been looking for and found it when I was backpacking last summer. Been looking for little teeny weeny bones, and I found an owl pellet that I pulled apart.
And
I know.
Perfect.
I know. And I found a little mouse jawline, a little mouse jaw, some little tiny bones, and a mouse skull, which I'm just dying to get into. A piece of fine art. I'm not necessarily sure that anybody would wear that in jewelry.
Around here they would, sure.
Well, maybe.
Tell us about your studio. You mentioned you had a studio. What's that like?
I do have a studio, and I want to thank Region 2 Arts for that. I was awarded a grant earlier this year, which has allowed me to move into a studio at 504 Beltrami Avenue. I share the studio with three other artists, and it's been really nice. It's afforded me a getaway. My studio previously had been in the house, and if you're ever an artist in your house, you realize you're sitting there and you're looking at dust, and that laundry
dishes
has to get done.
And, oh, yeah.
So the studio has been a really nice haven to put up my work, and I can walk away from it and come back to it. And there's very little distraction. It's a nice area, and I really like being downtown in Bemidji.
If people want to buy your art, is that where they go?
Mm-hmm. I'm not necessarily open as a gallery or for sale, but certainly by appointment they can come see what I have. And I'm working on an inventory right now. Most of my jewelry goes down to Lanesboro Art Center in Lanesboro, Minnesota, to be sold. But because we're doing the Fiber Arts Trail in April, I'm working on inventory, so I actually, for the first time ever, have some time and some inventory cranking out in the studio. So they can contact, just give me a contact, and it'll be by appointment.
You know, you provided a piece for John Bauer's exhibit, What's Left, which was about people who are left from suicide. Can you tell us about that piece?
That piece was an absolute honor to do. I was blown away by the request, and then it took a long time for the piece to come forward. I thought I knew what I wanted to do, and I tried to take it into a couple of different directions. And what I found with the nodding is it doesn't do what it doesn't want to do. I follow it. I don't usually, I can't very often dictate what it's going to do because it's energy. What finally settled out is I felt like I needed to have a piece of Megan Bauer in the what I was doing. And so I contacted John, not knowing what kind of answer I was going to get. And I asked him if it would be possible to have a piece of jewelry that Megan had that she wore that she liked, because I wanted to incorporate, it was important for me to incorporate that into the piece. And John was very generous, and he gave me a ring that had a piece of rose quartz in it, and also a bracelet which had a little tiny butterfly on it that I just fell in love with. And I was able to incorporate that as well as a few other pieces of broken jewelry from other people who I had known that had struggled with suicide or had struggled with some really deep depression, and I was able to incorporate all those into one piece. The interesting thing about it is when I was doing the research on the rose stone, the rose quartz that John gave me, is that the rose quartz has healing properties. So I built a necklace around that ring as the focal point, incorporated some other broken pieces of jewelry, and made a beautiful necklace that is actually permanently affixed to the form because to me, I don't think it should ever be worn. I would like to see depression not be worn by anybody. And while the broken pieces turned into something beautiful, I just really would hope that we can get to a point where nobody has to wear that kind of depression or the thoughts of suicide.
What was it hard to tie that then with those things in the piece?
It was that piece. Just put itself together once I gave into it and I quit trying to dictate what it wanted. That was one of the easiest pieces. It just went together. The colors all came together, the knotting came together, and it just had this beautiful, beautiful flow to it.
Sacred work.
Very sacred work. I was so honored to be part of that. And John's done some really good work with that art exhibit, and I hope it continues to do that kind of work.
Karen Lisa Forbes is one of many artists reexamining the art of macrame. She's one of the artists of the Intersections Working Studio in Bemidji, and she's also part of the Midwest Fiber Arts Trail. We're going to meet other artists of the Fiber Arts Trail this spring, and until then, you can see Karen's work online at KarenLisaForbes.com. Our conversation with Karen Lisa Forbes has been part of our series, Area Voices, covering the arts, culture, and history of Northern Minnesota. Area Voices is produced with support from the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and the people of Minnesota.
Karen, thanks for coming in. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to everybody.